Dort was emphatically an international synod. International. The States General, who governed the synod, and we'll talk about them later this afternoon, the Lord willing, determined to invite delegates from many Reformed churches. They were able to communicate because the learned men of the age all knew Latin, and therefore they had a common language, even though they came from many different regions. Of the 86 delegates to the Synod, 27 of them were from foreign regions. The delegates from each provincial synod had one vote each. Each synod had a vote. And the delegates from each particular foreign region had a vote. So, therefore, 11 votes would be cast by Dutch delegations and 8 by foreign delegations. That indicates that the Dutch gave a significant place to these foreign delegates. They were not there to observe merely, not merely to talk, but they could vote with this kind of authority. In addition to that, as we noted, 3 foreign delegates served on the 9-man committee that drafted the canons. In this, the British influence was significant. I want to point that out for just a bit here. There were, first of all, church ties. We all know our church history that there were some English people who came to the Netherlands, Puritans, who then later came to America. There were also some Dutch refugee churches in England at this time. So there was movement both ways by believers. In addition to that, a number of men went to England to get their training, to get additional training, such as Gomarus, and we've seen Bogerman. But also Arminians went there. A notable Arminian by the name of Petrus Bertius was another man who studied in England. So there was a lot of exchange, and the heresy of Arminianism was not unknown in England. They had faced a similar battle in 1605 over the same issues. The involvement of King James I, he was not particularly a religious man, but he was called the head of the church in England. And he felt a certain compulsion. Then he was very interested in the Netherlands as well for political reasons. In 1612, he opposed the appointment of a notable heretic by the name of Vorsius to the University of Leiden. He sent a letter in the same year exhorting both sides, the Remonstrants and Counter-Remonstrants, to peace. And he, through his ambassador, pressed the States General, which is the head of the government in the Netherlands, pressed them to hold a national synod. The British delegates had a leading role at the synod. The archbishop at this time, in God's providence, was a man by the name of Abbott, who was a thoroughgoing Calvinist. And therefore, when he selected the men, which had to be approved by the king, of course. But when he selected the men, he selected men who, for the most part, were devoted to the Calvinistic presentation of the truth. Calvin's doctrines. These men were committed to it, although not all of them were of equal strength. The Synod of Dort, then. So who was invited to the Synod of Dort? Let me give you some maps here. First of all, in the Palatinate, you have in Germany that region where Heidelberg is the center. You have Scultetus was, remember, one of the men on the draft committee who was from Heidelberg. Hesse, Germany, was another area that sent representatives. Nassau-Bettarabia, which was the home of the House of Orange, the William of Orange, the man who would lead the armies against the Spanish, he was from that region of Germany. It was a reform center, and they also were invited to send delegates. A couple of German cities, Emden, right over the border, very important for the Netherlands. Often synods would be held there because of the persecution. They couldn't hold them in the Netherlands proper. They could in Emden. And Bremen as well. Notable that Bremen sent a man by the name of Martinius who had some Remonstrant leanings. And he would sometimes argue in favor of some of the Remonstrant positions over against Dort, the counter-remonstrants, though in the end he signed the canons. From Switzerland, we have men from Geneva, Zurich, Bern, Basel, and Schaffhausen. Of these delegates, then, Geneva had its own set of delegates that voted as a unit, and one of the men was Diodate, a man on the draft committee, and the other cities combined had one vote as a foreign group. Besides that, then, there is England and Scotland, the Bishop George Carleton, of course, being one of the men on the draft committee, and Walter Balkenquall, the only Scotsman who was sent there. And then Ward and Davenant get a little notice, but not a good one. They were weak on the atonement and caused some issues when the second head was being discussed. So these are the men that came, but some were not able to come. France and Brandenburg. France could not come because they had a staunch Roman Catholic king who forbade anyone to go across the border to the Senate of Dordt as a delegate. Nonetheless, one of the important reformed men of the age was a man by the name of Pierre Dumoulin, and he took it upon himself to write a treatise, a book really, which he sent to the Senate of Dordt as his statement on Arminianism, called The Anatomy of Arminianism, something still available today, by the way. It's been translated, and you can read it, his condemnation of the error of the Arminians. Brandenburg cannot come because they were reformed churches surrounded by some militant Lutherans. We have to understand the age in which they lived. You could be a Lutheran or you could be a Roman Catholic in Germany. The Reformed Church was not really recognized. And in some areas that caused a problem if there were militant Lutherans there, and therefore they were not allowed to come. Obviously, Dordt was a Reformed synod. And if they would send delegates, they would be announcing to the world, we're not Lutheran, we're Reformed. And therefore, they thought it wisest not to send men to the synod. So they came to the United Netherlands and came to the city of Dordrecht, which is in the southern part of Holland, today the province of South Holland. This is significant that these men came to the Synod of Dordt. It was an international gathering of Reformed theologians. They came from all over Europe. Reformed churches sent their best men to the Synod of Dordt, outstanding theologians, professors, and ministers. The doctrines of grace were threatened, and these churches were determined to maintain the doctrines of total depravity and sovereign double predestination and irresistible grace and particular atonement and perseverance of the saints. They were determined as churches to maintain these doctrines. And so they sent their men. And now you want to think about this from a practical point of view. These men left their positions in seminaries. They left their positions as pastors in their churches. They left behind their wives and their children for 5 months. That's quite a commitment. That's quite a sacrifice. They were willing to do it because the truth was at stake. God determined this, of course, for the sharpening of the doctrines of grace, for the preservation of the Reformation, and for the preservation of Reformed churches throughout Europe. Wouldn't be merely the churches of the Netherlands that would benefit. All Reformed churches would now have this priceless document in their hands to contradict Arminianism and to contradict every form of error that would deprive God of His power to save and put something of it into man's hands, and that would be preserved in this document. But this isn't merely for the churches of that age. It's for the Church Catholic. It's for the church today, so that now 400 years later, by God's grace, the truth can still be confessed, preached, taught in the catechism room, the doctrines of God's grace. God determined this for His great glory.